You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Previously on TRC Unleashed.
I would tell you, Sindarius Thornwell is a tremendous basketball player for us, but we need some help on the boards. So. We're just good enough to hang around, but not really good enough to threaten to win the game.
Last thing is, I think we can all agree, between the three of us, you know the least about recruiting than the three of us.
I'll tell you what I do know about is I do know that Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee and all these teams beat us with players we didn't want. So I don't care how much you do know about recruiting and don't know about recruiting. If you can't develop talent, you're wasting your time.
So rumors are we're in a bidding war, potentially in a bidding war for Will Muschamp.
I got nothing.
Ho, 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 Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 74. TRC is the Rubber Chickens, and please feel free to visit our outstanding website at therubberchickensblog.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rubber Chickens. That's R-U-B-R Chickens. Follow us on Vine, Instagram, and JDate.com. Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
What about Farmers Only, man?
My name is Buck, and I'm your host, and I am joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man. Merry Christmas, old man. You guys done with your done with all your Christmas shopping?
Done? Been done a while.
Have you really?
Used a mouse and got it all done.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it these days.
Hey, you even finished.
Even finished what?
With my present. I mean, you got it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Do you not have it yet? That should have been delivered like a week ago.
Man, I got you thing. I got you the same thing I've gotten you every year.
A big bag of nothing.
All right.
What do you get a guy that likes nothing?
Right. Well, that was you.
It is me.
A guy that likes nothing and has everything he needs. So, you know, a lot has happened. A lot has happened and a lot has not happened since our season ending and streak busting loss to Clemson. So let's talk about a little bit of football. So right after the game, Steve Spurrier makes the 2 to 3 more years. Was it 2 to 3 more? It wasn't 1 to 2, was it?
It was two to three.
To begin with, he just said, it's probably not a good idea to talk about that right now.
Yeah. So did when he said the 2 to 3 year thing, none of that surprised me, or, you know, I didn't immediately think, oh my God, that's going to kill recruiting. And I don't remember anybody having that reaction either. It's just kind of like, oh, well, here we go. Maybe we're getting a little closer to the end. And I don't recall anybody like raising their hand and saying, hey, this is going to hurt recruiting. But, you know, over the course of the next few weeks, we've seen that it has pretty seriously damaged recruiting. And in the midst of that was this whole Will Muschamp saga where we thought we were going to, you know, we thought we had a shot at him, maybe head coach in waiting, maybe associate head coach, maybe kind of some, you know, winks and nods, some assurances that he'd get a shot to be the next head coach. And of course, we know how that panned out. He wound up at Auburn, which really didn't bother me too bad. I mean, it was a little disappointing knowing that we weren't getting one of the great defensive college defensive minds coming into the fold. But I think it was the right move to not promise him anything beyond a defensive coordinator position. So how did you guys feel about the Muschamp thing and, you know, where we stand with our defensive staff as of today without fighting?
I'll let T-Bone go first.
Well, it was easy to get caught up in the Muschamp thing because it seemed like such a quick fix. It was like a quick Band-Aid that would make us feel better about everything. It would have also been kind of a PR coup. So, you know, you wanted something to feel good about, go back to your Clemson fan friends, frenemies with quickly. But I think all along that was just that was created by a lot of wishful thinking on our part. I think the most we were ever involved was just an agent bouncing something off, and he was headed to Auburn all along. But, you know, the reality is the fix is going to be longer and harder and more painful than just one hire. So, you know, I don't know. I'm in kind of a wait and see mode now. I guess I've vented a lot of my anger, and I'm hopeful for some changes, but I have no idea what those will be.
Doesn't it feel like the further away we get and the more it calms down, the more it feels like we're going to wind up with the same staff next year?
Yeah, I'm not through those stages of grief that gets me to a place where I like that outcome yet. But I hear what you're saying.
I mean, I think there'll probably be some adjustments to the staff, but I don't think we're going to see anything drastic, like, you know, three guys get fired and we bring in a new DC who's some high-profile guy. I mean, I really don't see that. I mean, I think that that's what a lot of people wanted, but I think I'm not sure that that's – if you don't get some super high-profile guy like Muschamp, who we did not get – then, you know, you got to start thinking about whether or not it's going to have a material difference.
Yeah.
To our team, you know.
Sweet and, fancy Moses, I think G-Man and I agree on this one.
Yeah. So so you know, the rumor now, the hot rumor now, which, you know, I'm sick of hearing about hot rumors after that whole Muschamp fantasy week when everybody was just it was downright ridiculous the way people were acting about all of that.
Yeah. The
rumor now is that Ellis and Lawing are coming back.
Right.
And that, you know, we're going to make some adjustments, but they're coming back and that's going to be the staff. But, you know, who knows?
We're getting the band back together, dude.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
well, and you know, it wasn't a bad band.
It wasn't. It really wasn't a bad band. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of people who've always said, you know, having continuity on our staff is a good thing. We've been able to maintain that, you know, notwithstanding our losing season, or shall we say 500 season. Let's hope it's not a losing season. You know, we've had a pretty good run with this group of coaches, notwithstanding the fact that a couple of them, you know, aren't thought of as the greatest. So, I don't know. Be careful what you wish for, I guess, is what you're.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
What,
you know. I mean, I've seen some folks out there with the reaction about Ellis Johnson. It's like, no way, no way do we want him back. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. he ran some pretty good defenses while he was here.
Yeah, and last year, guess what? The defense he was coordinating, not last season, but the season before that, played for the national championship.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, what, not that Auburn had great defense either year, but it's not like he's a terrible coach or something.
No.
Well, and I, you know, we'll be underwhelmed by that news. You know, you'll kind of be like, oh, okay, yeah. But you'll be somewhat comforted, I guess. I mean, I think he's back near his home base. He's back near his recruiting connections. He's back near his family where he was happy. You know, all of his little weird experiments he was wanting to try maybe are out of his system.
Right.
And his time frame may fit with the, you know, the head ball coach's time frame, which that's really the question. That's the reason we're all so antsy about all this is we're somewhere between, you know, he says, 2 or 3 years or 4 or 5 years. We're somewhere between December 28th and
5 years from now.
right. And that I understand why the recruits feel a little skittish about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how this thing plays out.
Right, but I think that we all knew that this uncertain day was coming. I mean, everybody knew when he came here that was coming. I think the only thing that we're disappointed by is that there's not a clearer transition plan.
Right. I mean, and it appears that it's very ad hoc. They're making this up as they go. We all assumed that somebody had a plan in their back pocket.
Right.
And they don't.
I think it stemmed from the fact, though, there's never really been a obvious heir apparent, you know, and you know, you've had a bunch of possibilities, but there's never been an obvious heir apparent. And I think they may be just as confused about that as everybody else is. And now that it's sort of approached, and guess what? When we were 11-2 every year, nobody's thinking about who the heir apparent is going to be. It's only because we won six games of all six games that you've got all this, you know, uproar over, you know, who the heir apparent is going to be. For a while there, we didn't care.
Well, when we're going 11-2, 11-2, and 11-2, the heir apparent is Sean Elliott, or it's Lorenzo Ward, or it's, you know, we're thinking, hey man, let's just keep this rolling. And now we go 6-6, and everybody's stupid and forgotten how to coach. So we need to clean house.
Exactly. We win three more games this year, you're not having this conversation.
Right. Yeah. But
the way you win three more games this year is by stopping somebody. So.
That's right.
All right, good. We got through that without any yelling at each other or anything. So,
G-Man, you suck.
So no Will Muschamp. It'll be interesting to see after the bowl game who's brought on or what type of adjustments are made, if any adjustments are made.
What do you think? Just percentage possibility that December 28th is a sayonara press conference
for Steve Spurrier?
Yeah.
I think it's in the 1% range. I don't
really?
Think. Oh, there's no way.
I agree. I think anywhere. It's very unlikely with all the things he said. I just think that's very unlikely to happen at this point.
I think if he was remotely thinking that, he wouldn't have come back out with the 4 to 5 years thing. I think he would have just stayed quiet.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I don't think there's any way at this point. He's telling recruits that he's going to be around for a while. He's never told any recruit that it's going to be any less than 2 or 3 years. So, I think
time stamp this podcast because I think it's like 50-50, man.
Are you serious?
Yes, I do.
If Miami beats us like 70-10, then maybe he's fed up with it and he leaves. But Lord knows.
50-50.
So we've had, I guess, 6 decommitments since October, and the ones I believe that have decommitted since this 2 to 3 year things were 2 offensive linemen, Josie Milton, Paris Palmer, and then Mark Fields. The most recently, was Jair Alexander. Was he in that after the 2 to 3 year comment?
I think he was, but I mean, I think I texted you guys about this. I mean, I think. The 2 to 3 years thing has something to do with it, but I think some of this is – I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we went 6-6 this year, too.
Yeah, right.
And I think
– it was an excuse. That's
right. It's an excuse. It's easier to say, I don't want to go there because the coach may leave, than to say, well, you're not as good as I thought you were, and these guys look a little better than right now, you know?
Right.
And so I just think a little more is made out of that because, I mean, everybody knows that Steve Spurrier is not going to be coaching here for a long, long time. I mean, they know that. I think if we'd have gone 11-2 again and Spurrier had said that, they're still coming to South Carolina.
But see, that's what's so frustrating about it. That's what's so frustrating. Nobody knows where anybody's going to be in a year.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, it's just all a bunch of
that's right. That's why recruiting
world.
Right, and that's why recruiting, you just can't get too hung up on 2 or 3 guys. I know losing Fields is a big deal, but today even there's an article out saying he's going to visit us after the Clemson visit and there's a chance that he might come back. So I mean, there's just really no reason to get so incredibly caught up in one particular player or two players. I mean, it just doesn't matter, and people get way too caught up in that stuff, and I'm guilty. I've been caught up in it too, but in the long run, we're going to have a decent class if we hold these guys together. And right now, a lot of these guys we lost weren't super high profile guys, you know?
Right. And a couple of them may have been just holding us as their safety school. That kid that went to Penn State or whatever, you know?
One kid dropped us because he couldn't get in here, that Durant kid. I mean, you can't really count that as a decommit. We weren't going to be able to take him.
Right. I noticed today that he is committed to Arizona State, but he's announcing who he's committing to tomorrow at 1:00
still trying to get that second offer.
Yeah, apparently Oregon and a couple of other schools have now jumped in on the Devon Durant sweepstakes. Okay. So all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute.
end of the day, this was all kind of a PR problem. It was never a factual problem. It was never a real issue because, like we've all acknowledged, everybody that's coaching everywhere, half of them won't be coaching there in 2 years.
Well, so, and,
but
and,
it's a PR issue, and it played into a narrative that people were really happy to jump on against us in recruiting. They've been trying to tell people Steve Spurrier was old for 10 years now.
That's right, and we got to remember that recruiting you know, we look at it scientifically. I mean, these kids, man, they don't know what they're having for breakfast, you know?
Right.
You know, and then, you know, something happens, they change their mind, and we all sit out here in a super analog. Why did he make that decision? We don't know. Maybe because he, you know, because he flipped a coin this morning. I mean, we, you know, it's not as complicated as we sometimes want to make it out to be.
He saw Oregon's cool new uniforms and decided he wanted to wear those.
Exactly.
So, you know, a piece of, speaking of that, coaches moving on, a piece of what I feel like is really, really good news for South Carolina. And I don't think it's official yet, but it sounds like Mike Bobo is going to leave Georgia and head to Colorado State. And
I think that's the next step in Bobo's coming back as head coach of the Dogs.
Or maybe the head coach at South Carolina.
Ooh, no, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but I tell you, people don't – he's taken a lot of criticism for moments like the end of the South Carolina game this year when they had the ball first and goal on the 5 and ran a play-action pass instead of handing it to Gurley. But if I'm not mistaken – over the last 5 or 6 years, their points per game total has increased every year. They've had an outstanding offense. I don't think people realize how good they've been. So it's going to be tough. And plus, they've got the number one quarterback recruit in the country coming in 2016 because of Bobo. So maybe they lose that kid too. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, that's interesting. I heard he was up for it.
He's supposed to be announced. It sounds like. But we did hang on to Marquavius Lewis, which may be the most important guy in our entire recruiting class. A guy, it looks like he's going to get plugged right into one of the defensive end spots. And have you guys watched his film from Hutchinson this year?
A little bit.
He looks. The word beast is overused, but he looks like a beast. To me, I mean, he just high motor, one of those high motor kids that G-Man likes.
That's right,
playing the end position.
I'm just excited that we got some defensive linemen. Period, coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got him, you got Wyatt, you got the 6'6" kid who we seemed to grab at the last minute. None of us had ever heard of
Ulrich Jones.
Yes, right. So, I mean, you gotta have some D linemen, and if you think about it, without getting too scientific. The reason why we've been so good on defense other than this year is mainly because of very good defensive lines. And that's what separates the SEC from the other conferences. If you talk to these coaches or hear these coaches talk, they always talk about the SEC defensive lines being so strong. Well, we went from being super strong to being terribly weak on defensive line. I don't care who's playing cornerback. If the quarterback has all day to throw, then, you know, they're eventually going to beat you. We had 12 sacks on the season, so I'm excited about the defensive lineman coming in, and some more coming in the class.
We had no defensive ends, and then there was really nobody on the interior stood out. You know, Abu Lamine was not quite the player that we thought he was going to be. And then who else you got? I mean, JT Surratt was a very good player on the interior, but he just had no help around him.
Mm-hmm. No help, none.
So. Well, and the other thing I noticed with the Ulrich, what was his name?
Jones.
Ulrich Jones.
You remember Ulrich, but not
Ulrich,
Jones.
I can't remember Jones. That's right. Are we worried at all that he's a 6'6" defensive tackle?
I'm not worried about it.
No, you know, there are more and more of those guys.
I think that means he's tall and rangy and slow. Isn't that what that means?
I think you're starting to see more of these 6'6", 6'7", guys play in the interior. You're seeing it in the NFL. Tennessee's had a couple of these, you know, 6'6", 6'7", guys. Yeah. So, no, I'm not too – I mean –
Hey, I'm pulling for the kid.
I'm more concerned that we found out about this guy 2 days before we signed him. That's, you know, it's like, hey, why haven't we heard about this guy before?
Let's throw this against the wall and see what happens.
Or the linebacker who was rated what's his name? Shoot.
Is it Jones?
It's not Jones and it's not Ulrich. I can't think. Ernest Hawkins, linebacker out of California. you know, he wasn't even rated by any of the services. So we'll see.
We just dropped the G-Man.
We did. So we're going to pause for just a second, pull him back up. All right, so on Saturday, we head back to the Independence Bowl against Miami, 6-6. Are they 6-6 as well?
Yeah, they are.
That's their record?
Yep.
You know, outside of Brad Kaya, their quarterback, and Duke Johnson, I don't think I can name another player on their team. You know, I saw them play. They played Florida State pretty tight this year and then went on a terrible losing streak towards the end of the season. I have no idea what to expect on Saturday from this ball game. I mean, honestly, no idea.
I don't know. Looking at the purely at the stats, we've got a better offense. They've got a better defense. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they rush for a lot of yards, but – you know, we've got more balance, but man, they've got a halfway decent defense, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time really engaging in this game. I even try to trick myself in, you know, getting mad about that time they slammed Todd Ellis to the ground.
Yeah, do you remember that? I remember watching that game.
That was our freshman year of college.
Yeah, it was after we beat Clemson. Wasn't it the week after we beat Clemson?
It was. It was weird. Yeah, we played them afterwards.
The problem with it though is I can't get too mad because you know there's been times I've kind of wanted to sling him to the ground.
Yeah, that's true. That's an excellent point. All right, so we'll see what happens on Saturday. I guess it'll be relatively stress-free since we have no expectations heading into the game.
Right.
Some other Gamecock news, some former Gamecock players. Looks like Connor Shaw might get a start for the Browns if their other quarterbacks don't heal up.
I am excited about that. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that ought to be interesting if he gets the call. Manziel is definitely out, and the other guy, Brian Hoyer, has a shoulder injury that they're just taking it day by day. So I guess at worst, Shaw would be the backup in the game.
That's right.
And also Marcus Lattimore, they made it out like this is some big announcement or something on Twitter today that he's going to become an ambassador for the football program. But we don't know what he's going to do or what his title's going to be or who he's going to be working for or anything. I'm like, okay, well, didn't we kind of know he was going to come back and work for the university in some form or fashion?
Yeah,
so
I thought so. Another thing that was interesting there is the state asked him if he was going to head back into coaching once he got his degree, and he said no, but he might become a trainer.
Yeah.
And that just seems a little odd to me. I mean, I don't know what he enjoys doing, what he doesn't enjoy doing, and I want him to do whatever he wants to do, but it just seemed a little odd.
Have we had this conversation about how I don't want him to coach for the Gamecocks? Have we talked about that on the podcast?
That's one of your things. You're right.
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, no coaches stay anywhere forever. And can you imagine a situation where we have to fire?
You're wrong about that. Clemson has that one dude that wears his hat backwards and has the gray handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
He's been standing beside whoever the Clemson coach is for 30 years. I don't have a clue who that guy is.
Well, that would have to be Lattimore. They'd have to give him a guaranteed, you know, coaching contract forever or something, because I can't imagine him ever being part of a staff that got fired or individually getting fired from the University of South Carolina. That, you want to talk about a PR nightmare?
Well, we've never fired George Rogers.
That's true.
He's never coached. He's never coached either.
My point. He's sort of an ambassador.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, and then on the other end of the spectrum, non-Gamecock news, Chad Kelly apparently threatened to shoot up a bar last night, or either the night before last. I can't remember. I mean, his lawyer, I saw his lawyers come out today that said none of this happened the way it's being reported. So we'll have to see how that shakes out.
He's a good guy, Chad, you know, really good guy. I mean, he just finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time a lot.
I'm going to go out to my car, get my AK-47, and spray this place.
What was the rap song where he says, "I'm going to go get my jammy and flat blast both of you"? Do you know that one?
I don't know. Oh, that was
like 1984 or something.
That was Orange Juice Jones.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna go get my jam.
I saw you walking in the rain.
With him. With him.
You're just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
you dismissed.
Oh, maybe that's our outro music right there. Oh, man. Good stuff. So look up Orin Juice Jones. I think the title of the song is Walking in the Rain. some good news, man. The basketball team, after Charleston, I was so bummed out about our basketball team. I thought they didn't look any different than they looked last year. You know, we beat Cornell in Charleston, and then we lost to Charlotte and Akron. And I thought, this is going to take a lot longer than I thought. This is terrible. And Frank Martin, after the loss to Akron or, a day or two after that, said, we're really close. You know, we're really close to flipping the switch here, and everybody being on the same page. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Frank, please don't give me that speech. Right. And man, they have rolled from that point on, just playing some high level defense, a lot of guys, different guys scoring points. Dwayne Notice is who Sendarius Thornwell is supposed to be. Right now.
Well, I was going to say, we've won our last two games pretty handily, and Sendarius Thornwell has scored 10 points combined
in those two
games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the good news is he's not having to carry the team, which we thought he might have to, because he is probably the best scorer on the team. But notice, they say that guy is just a tireless worker. I mean, he's out, that practice ends, and he gets the ball and shoots 1,000 shots after practice.
Yeah.
And I like his build. He's got that wide shoulder build. I mentioned this to you guys the other day, that he's not the same type of player, okay? So don't go crazy when I say this, but I see a lot of BJ Mackey qualities in this guy. I mean, he's a lead guard. He wants the ball in his hand. He wants to take the shot.
Right.
He takes control of the game. And he's sort of emerging as the leader of the team from what I see out there. So I really like him, and I noticed him last year with those same qualities. But the team has really I went to the Clemson game, and man, the second half of that game was just a thing of beauty. It was so much fun to watch, just drumming them, and that's the thing
both the Oklahoma State game and the Clemson game, watching the team play, how frustrating a team are we to play. I mean, if we keep that kind of thing going, everybody looks furious the whole time we're playing them.
Well, they can't
get a shot off. They can't run their offense.
What I like, too, the Clemson game, we brought Carrera off the bench, right? He's been hurt with the concussion. He comes off the bench, right? He's one of our better players, more athletic players, which we're sort of lacking in that category. He comes off the bench, provides that energy, that spark, which was really nice to see. And how about the big Chat? How about him?
Chat is playing some ball. He's played very well.
What an improvement over when he got here. You're like, this guy is going to be an outside 7-foot jump shooter. Well, now, he's banging in there.
And so, if Henry can stay out of foul trouble, which has been his biggest issue.
That's not going to happen.
Well, the problem is he picks up these cheap fouls out on the perimeter setting screens and he can't afford to do that. But Kaichinus playing well, the whole team, if you can keep
this team together, you lose Johnson, you bring Dozier in, this 6'8 kid.
Yeah.
I mean, this year they're going to be good, but next year they could be really good.
Right.
Really good.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's nice to feel this excitement coming back around.
Well, you think about, you bring in Dozier, you got this Silva kid, isn't he like 6'8 post player?
Jumping jack, yeah.
You got Tamarcus Blanton, who's injured. You got Shamik Shepard, who's injured. If nothing else, we'll be 9 or 10 deep if these kids are any kind of players at all. So
absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, things are looking up on the basketball team. So,
and of course, the women's team is number one in the country. Don't forget about that.
By the way, yeah, rolling through people. I didn't realize we play the women's team plays at UConn in February. That'll be something. How about some Twitter questions? We got a few.
Yeah, we got a few Twitter questions, and I'm going to have to be careful with these because they might set the G-man off.
Yeah. Are you going to ask us the questions?
You want me to? I'll ask you the questions. Y'all come up with the answers.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Y'all are funnier than I am anyway. Here we go. Rickson Lane at Fastlane Sports. Great Twitter follow, by the way. If South Carolina's golden age was turned into a 30 for 30 film, what would the commercial sound like?
Yeah, so these 30 for 30 things that the commercials start with, what if I told you that, you know, and my initial thoughts are, you know, what if I told you that a coaching legend, his third act in coaching was to come to a mediocre football program and blah, 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 blah. And I went down this rabbit hole with this this thought trail. And
you went down this Rickson Lane.
I went way away from where Rickson wanted to take this question. I started thinking, you know, I'm so happy that Lou Holtz decided to come to South Carolina, and I'm so happy that Steve Spurrier decided to come to South Carolina. But at some point in my life, or in our lives, I'm looking forward to the day where the identity of South Carolina football is not completely wrapped up in its head coach.
Right.
Because, you know, when Lou Holtz was our head coach, it's like, oh man, yeah, Lou Holtz is, when Spurrier came on, the very first call of the very first touchdown was Mike Tirico saying, "Touchdown, Spurrier!"
Right.
In South
Carolina. That's right. So, yeah, it's kind of tough. So, I mean, you know, I just hope that 30 for 30 is not produced by Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
Is all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a 30 for 30 about South Carolina's golden age, it's going to be all about Steve Spurrier. Or it's going to be 80% Steve Spurrier and 20% South Carolina football.
No, so, man, the golden age is going to be about Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott leading us to 10 straight national titles.
Rickson's got another question. What Clemson recruiting ideas were shot down before the letter from Santa Claus was chosen?
Yeah, I saw that one too, and my only thought was none. None.
Yeah.
Somebody came up with that idea and said, oh man,
it's gold.
This is the best thing ever. Yeah, there were no other ideas. That's the answer.
I feel like Dabo was sitting in front of his fireplace with like a big thing of buttermilk, and all of a sudden he does a spit take. I'm going to send him a letter from Santa. Santa, it's brilliant.
Oh, man.
And then we got a couple that, man, I don't know. We start making fun of Whammy Ward pretty hard in our Twitter feed after that, so.
DC3 underscore tweets, where can we find a bowl big enough to flush Whammy down? Hint, it's in Shreveport. So he answered his own question there.
Right. I don't really see anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're the one, T-Bone. I think Lorenzo sends out an inspirational tweet every morning.
And they drive me crazy.
And between,
they drive me crazy, too.
Between me and T-Bone, we usually have some sort of response. And this, I think earlier this week it was, your success should be based on what you give out instead of what you accumulate. And T-Bone responded, note, does not apply to points.
See, what I'm always trying to do is I want it to work out for Lorenzo, so I'm trying to, bring him up speed.
So Jorge Stevens actually sent me a text. Says, what happens first, Spurrier retires or Gamecock Hoops makes the big dance?
Ooh.
Big dance.
I think it's big dance, too, because I long shot we make it in 2015. I think 2016 is a definite possibility.
I think Martin is going to bully his way into the big. Yeah, he's just going to like bully. I mean, I could just see him. He's just going to bear down until he gets it done.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. They had him mic'd up on Saturday. What was the last game? Was the Clemson game the last game was on
like
TV?
Saturday or Sunday,
We played Coker on Sunday. We played Clemson on
So the Clemson game was Friday. I think they had him mic'd up. And, all they ever show is him just like screaming, blood vessels popping out of his head. But when they mic'd him up during timeouts, he was like really, really encouraging.
He was a gentleman. That's the kind of tempo I want to see,
That's the way you play defense, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. So, somewhat off topic, talking about basketball coaches.
I don't know if T-Bone follows it like Buck and I do, but college basketball.
I do not.
But I don't know about you guys, but I'm already sick of the Bruce Pearl love affair.
Oh, my gosh. Okay? Yeah.
I mean, they put him on all the time. And I mean, and he just grabs the spotlight. It's just sickening. I'm so glad that guy is not here. Because
that's the way it's going to be, though. I mean,
I think
basketball recruiting is a cutthroat, flash in the pan bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. I think he's got a PR agency behind the scenes that books all these appearances for him.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he is just an attention whore is what he is.
So, T-Bone, you had a little Christmas trivia for us?
A little Christmas trivia?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a couple pieces of Christmas trivia. Let's see how you can do this. In the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Christmas Carol. After Scrooge is visited by the ghosts and he wakes up on Christmas morning, who does he go to spend Christmas Day with?
Tiny Tim.
No. Everyone thinks that, including the people that make the movies.
So he does not go to spend Christmas Day with Tiny Tim.
He does not. He sends the goose over there.
Yeah,
He goes and stays with his nephew.
Goes and stays with his nephew. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good to know.
I got more. You want more?
Yeah, give me another one.
What country was the original Santa Claus from?
Norway.
No. There is a better, more southern answer.
Mexico.
No.
Brazil.
Turkey. Turkey.
All right.
St. Nicholas of Myra was from a coastal Greek village in Turkey.
Yeah.
In the 4th century B, I guess 4th century CE. You know what he was most famous for?
What's that?
During his lifetime, he was most famous for slapping another preacher during an open meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's got an attitude.
Look it up. Yeah, he had a little bit of an attitude.
St.
Nicholas
stuff.
Of Myra.
Yeah. So
I got a million of them over here if you want more.
Hey, when did the three wise men visit Jesus?
Well, there's a problem with your question. We don't know that it was three.
Well, when did the wise men visit Jesus?
Wise men from the east came. It says in the New Testament story that they went to visit him at his house. Everything you know about Christmas is wrong.
It was about 2 years, from what I understand.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's right. Yeah. It says he was in a house.
He wasn't in a manger. He wasn't swaddled up. Yep. It was like 2 years before they got there. So, man, we could do this all night. How about this? Let's.
G-Man's.
He's quiet.
I'm resisting the urge to say what I normally say.
Right.
So, G-Man,
nerd
G-Man,
alert.
If the Gamecocks athletic department, I'll tell you, I'll narrow it down to the football team. If the Gamecocks football team asked for something for Christmas, what would it be?
Is it just one thing, or can it be more than one thing?
It can be as many things as you want. My kids ask for more than one thing, I'll tell you that.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah. I would ask for a dynamic dual-threat quarterback.
That'd be a good one.
About that.
Yeah.
And Jadeveon Clowney to have two younger brothers.
Right, that are as athletic as he is.
Right.
Athletic and big as he is, yeah.
Right.
One on each end. Right. T-Bone, how about you?
I would say I think that if we could have anything for Christmas this holiday season, it would be that all the children of the world got together and sang in happiness. But if we could have two things,
the old Steve Martin Saturday Night Live skit?
The thing with the kids, sure. The thing with the kids, we do that. But secondly, I would want Kurt Botkin to get into a fist fight with Chad Kelly.
Oh, man, I think Botkin would kill him.
Nah, he'd pull out his jammy and flat blast Botkin.
who got in a fight? Was it Botkin and Adams on the sideline?
That was it. All right, well, y'all stole my – I was going to ask for a quarterback and a defensive end, so you kind of stole my Christmas ask.
How about that?
Miracles can happen.
Yeah. So, all right, well, I don't know if we – you know, maybe we'll podcast after the bowl game before New Year's, maybe not. So we'll sign off not knowing what the final few days of the year will hold for us. But for T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck. And we're wishing all the Gamecock fans out there a very Merry Christmas. And if we don't talk to you before then, the happiest of New Year's. Go Cox.
Hey, baby, how you doing? Come on in here. Got some hot chocolate in the stove waiting for you. Listen, first things first, let me hang up that coat. Yeah, how's your day today? Did you miss me? You did. Yeah, I missed you too. I missed you so much, I followed you today. That's right. Now close your mouth, because you cold busted. That's right, now sit down here. Sit down here, so upset with you, don't know what to do. My first impulse was to run up on you and do a Rambo. Whip out the jammy and flat blast both of you. But I ain't want to mess up this $3,700 Lynx coat. So instead, I chill. That's right. Chill. Then I went to the bank, took out every dime. And then I went and canceled all those credit cards. Yeah. All your charge counts. Yeah. I stuck you up every piece of jewelry I ever bought you. Yeah, that's right. Everything. Everything. Get fly with me. Nah, don't go looking in that closet. Because you ain't got nothing in there. Everything you came here with is packed up and waiting for you in the guest room. That's right. What was you thinking about? Huh? What are you trying to prove? Huh? This with the juice. You know, I gave you silk suits, Gucci handbags, blue diamonds. I gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. Now I can't give you nothing but advice, because you're still young. That's right, you're still young. I hope you learn a valuable lesson from all this, you know? I'm going to find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, know what you got to do? You got to get on out of here with that Alley Cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing, crumb cake I saw you with, because you dismissed. That's right, silly rabbit tricks are made for kids, did you know that? You without me like cornflake without the milk. It's my world, you're just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Now get on out of here.